Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
After talking to Stella this morning and listening to her story about Harry Palmer going through a long, involved business to pinch some of Benny Puller's letterhead paper, I don't know what to think. Suppose Stella's making it all up. What's her motive? And if it were true, what the devil could Palmer have to gain, and how could I possibly be involved? That's not all. Stella hinted pretty broadly that there was something between Marcia and Palmer that I knew nothing about. And why can't these infernal females say straight out what they're driving at? I've been too busy all day to talk to Marcia, but I'm certainly going to have it out with her now as we're driving home.
You can't argue and watch the traffic at the same time, Jeff.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm merely asking you a simple question. Has there ever been anything about Harry Palmer that you haven't told me?
No, Jeff, there hasn't. I went out with him once or twice when we were fighting about Stella Bronson, but I've told you that over and over again.
What was Stella talking about?
Oh, it's obvious. She's still after you. All she can do is tell beastly lies about me.
That's the trouble, Marcia. She didn't say anything, actually. She only said she wished she could say more.
Oh, how can you be so stupid, Jeff? Don't you know anything about women like her? Of course she wouldn't say anything definite.
Well, why wouldn't she, if she actually knew anything?
Please, Jeff, there's nothing for her to know.
And there's something shaping up, I can feel it. Stella wasn't fooling this morning. There was a lot she wanted to tell me, but for some reason she couldn't, about Palmer. Hang it, I hate these hints and intrigues and innuendos. What's going on? Is Harry Palmer shooting at me, or isn't he? And if people know things, why the devil can't they come into the open and say so?
Oh, do be careful, Jeff. You'll run into something. Look, that truck.
I'll confound the truck.
Well, it's no use losing your temper.
At two pins, I'd go and see Stella tonight and wring some kind of sense out of her. She must know more than she let on, or she wouldn't have been in such a flap about Palmer snuffling a few sheets of Puller's notepaper.
You're not going near Stella tonight or any other night.
Why not?
Because I won't have it.
Oh, for Pete's sake, let's get home and down a good stiff drink. Sorry to be snarling at you, darling, but what with Puller turning the heat on more every day and Stella Bronson talking in riddles, I don't know whether I'm mixed up in a management corporation or a rat race. Well, there's one good thing anyway. Thank the Lord you're not jealous of Stella anymore.
Don't you be too sure.
Morning, Jeff. Morning, Marcia.
Hello, sir. Here comes the dad.
Good morning, President.
Now, listen, Jeff. I've just been in conference with Puller. And for the next 4 days, you'll have to work like a terrier. It's this company Puller's flirting. Our quarterly accounting isn't due for 2 months. But Puller has asked for an audit of our end of his affairs. So that he'll have up-to-date figures to put in front of his underwriters.
Good Lord. 4 days.
Oh, we can do it. You'll be working night and day, but you're able to take the next week or so off, if you want to.
Well, if we have to do it, I guess we can. You hear that, Marcia?
Oh, it shouldn't be so terrible. I'm pretty well in front with all Benny's accounts, except that new agent of his at Port Kensington. What's his name, Barker?
That's the chap we pay by open check, isn't it?
That's right, sir.
He must be doing a lot of business. Here's an invoice that's just come in for another $2,200.
All right, Jeff. You better hop on the phone to Puller and get the details. I can't leave it to you, can't I?
Of course, sir.
I'll tell Frank Glover to give you all the help he can. But whatever you do, have everything drawn up and in order by Friday.
All right, sir.
Well, I must run along. Sorry to rush you so, my boy, but you can blame Puller. Oh, well, shove it all in on the bonus.
Well, are you still glad you're my secretary, darling?
Just so long as I get some of that bonus for a couple of new hats.
It's the deal. And you can start earning them by getting Benny Puller for me. Metropole 6662, in case Millie hasn't learned his number yet, which I doubt. All right, Millie. Let's get over in the corner where we won't be seen. Sorry to keep you waiting. Have you been long?
About 10 minutes.
What's up?
You have to work a lot faster than you expected.
Wait until we sit down. Now then, why will I have to speed things up?
Benny Puller wants all his accounts made up because he's starting a new company, and they have to be ready in 4 days.
4 days? You sure? How do you know?
Jeff Pilgrim was talking about it on the phone just before 12.
4 days? Good Lord, I'm glad you got onto this, Billy.
How many of those invoice things have you put through so far?
Only two. One for 1,600 and one for just over 2,000. 2,200, actually.
£3,800.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Have you collected any of them yet?
Only the one for 1,600.
Oh, Harry, I'm frightened. We could both go to jail.
Neither of us is going to jail, Millie. Jeff Pilgrim is.
Oh, but what if something goes wrong?
Nothing can go wrong as long as we both keep our heads. Let me think. This brings it to the boil pretty quickly. I'm going to run over it step by step, Millie, and I want you to listen carefully.
Yes.
I took a post office box at Port Kensington in the name of Joseph Barker. Almost immediately, I wrote to the postmaster there, instructing him to readdress any mail to that box, to the GPO here. Post was stopped. A messenger boy picks up Joseph Barker's mail at the GPO and hands it to me at the coffee shop in the lane off Hudson Street. Right so far?
So that's how you've been collecting the checks.
Only one so far. Right. I forged a letter from Benny Puller authorizing Jeff Pilgrim to pay Puller's agent, Mr. Barker, by open check, and he's already done so. After Jeff had seen the letter, I destroyed it.
So that's what I could smell burning that day.
Will you keep quiet? I'm trying to think. I have a bank account that can't be traced to me. It's in the name of Taylor, and the check has been paid into that, the money withdrawn for cash, and it's in my flat in £1 notes. Well, Millie, anything wrong so far?
Oh, they can't do anything to you that I can see. But they're going to say what became of the money if Jeff Pilgrim took it.
Correct. By tomorrow night, I should have the second check of Mr. Barker's, the one for $2,200. I hate to see it go to waste, but I'm going to have most of that paid into Jeff Pilgrim's account.
But won't he see us the moment he finds it there?
Luckily, this is only the 5th of the month. It won't show on Jeff's bank statement till next month. And unless he asks the teller what's his balance in the next few days, he won't know it's there till after the storm's burst.
Oh, and when will that be?
The moment Benny Puller sees £3,800 that he knows nothing about charged off to him.
But, I mean, how soon?
Say, next Monday morning?
Oh, you're doing all this to get rid of Jeff Pilgrim.
We're doing it, Millie. Never forget that.
Oh, I didn't realize. It didn't seem real to me when you were planning it and telling me about it, but now...
Listen, my puppet, if anything goes wrong, if you weaken or decide to open that little rosebud mouth of yours, you know what will happen to you. You will be in it up to the neck, just as though you'd worked it all yourself. Hadn't you better bear that in mind?
Oh, this is awful.
It'll be worse if we don't pull it off. Get a grip on yourself, Millie. I'll be the managing director one day, and you'll be my wife. If you remember that, it should make anything worthwhile. So clear off back to work and keep quiet.
Well, aren't you coming?
We don't want to leave together. Now, go on, you'll be late. It's nearly 2. I'll pick you up at the usual place at 5.
Oh, all right. Bye for now.
Right. Oh, she's the weak link. Millie's the one I have to watch.
Hello, Marcia. Where's Jeff?
Oh, he's up with Mr. Fleming at the moment, Harry, but he shouldn't be long.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll hang about. I say, old Benny's running you too ragged with this four-day audit of his, isn't he? I was just speaking to Glover.
He certainly is. We'll be here till midnight at least, every night until Friday.
Well, that's what I popped in for, actually. I wondered if I could lend a hand.
No, I don't know. Jeff might have something you could do. Oh, listen, Harry, while you're here and have a chance to see it, be terribly careful. Stella Bronson's been telling Jeff that you and I were seeing each other.
Well, weren't we? I thought you'd heard that out with your doting husband.
Don't talk like that. Jeff knows we went out a few times, but he doesn't know, and he must never know what we schemed together. He was supposed to be going away with Stella on business, and I crashed the car. Oh, I shudder to think how I could have been so contemptible. And he doesn't dream that we planned it together to get evidence for a divorce.
Oh, that's ancient history, Marcia.
I hate having to go behind Jeff's back to even mention this to you now, but Stella Bronson knows, and if she tells him...
She'd never tell Jeff that in a million years.
Why wouldn't she?
Because she was in it, too. Neither you nor Stella can ever afford to tell him the absolute truth about me, particularly Stella. And you surely see why.
Well?
It's obvious. Stella doesn't want to lose Jeff either.
Going to be almost too easy. This poor old Jeffrey running about like a headless hen, getting the Puller account into shape, and running himself into an embezzlement charge in the process. Only a few more days to go. This is going to be good.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.